It's spooky time. Spooky time.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Real DMC Podcast. This is our Friday Night Frights edition. Real DMC stands for Dave, Marcus, and Colin. Marcus and Colin are here today. Hey, guys. I'm not sure why you chose to do a horror-themed podcast. I grew up a horror movie junkie, but just wanted to say thanks for that. So, really appreciate it.
It's fun. It's a good watch.
Yes, I thought this was a pretty good movie, so I'm not sure that Colin did, so I'll be very curious to see where the conversation goes. The film we're here to talk about today is director Marcus Nispel's 2003 remake of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Hey, are you okay?
They're all dead. The bad man.
I'm gonna have to call the cops, I guess.
Excuse me!
What the hell was that?
What?
I just saw something.
Alright, that's it. If somebody's out there, just come on out!
What is that? The hitchhiker. What were they all doing here?
What the hell are you doing in my house?
You're all gonna die.
Just in terms of overall setup, so the film was definitely a success. So it made $80 million domestically on its way to $107 million internationally. So not a huge international draw compared to domestic. But the budget was only $9.5 million. This was also part of Michael Bay's Platinum Dunes production company. I'm not sure how many different horror franchises they bought into, but they definitely kind of were on a run there for a while of remaking classic horror movies. And I think a lot of the stuff that they did, I think, is actually pretty decent. So one of the interesting things to note, so the same cinematographer did the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre as did this movie, which I think is pretty interesting. So his name's Daniel Pearl, and the very first film that he was a cinematographer on was the original 1974 Texas Chainsaw Massacre. So that's, I think it's pretty cool to bring him back and close loop it. I also do believe that this film is shot pretty impressively. I think it looks great, and I think that there are a lot of really interesting effects that get created in terms of how, lighting, for example, is used. And the overall color palette of the film, I think, is pretty interesting. So I think he does a really nice job with it.
I think that might be the only positive for this movie, at least in my opinion.
Really?
And I think as a positive, that's actually a negative because I think this movie was all style and no substance.
Mm. So there's a difference between thinking that this is not a good movie that's kind of in the genre that it's in versus you don't like this type of horror. So I'm kind of curious, like what's your feeling about the Texas Chainsaw Massacre as an overall kind of franchise or property?
I don't. I've seen the original and that's it. Yeah, this is just these two movies. That's it.
I saw the original and I actually don't like the original that much at all. I found it very, I don't know, grisly and just kind of like, it wasn't that well made. Like, I don't think it was a good movie at all. I think it was one of their very first horror movies. I forget when it came out, but it was
74.
Yeah. So it was definitely the one, it was setting new ground, but as a movie now, I would not want to watch that one. And I found this one, the 2003 remake, I found that really, really compelling, enjoyable, great horror movie. I wouldn't classify it as a great movie, but it's definitely a great horror movie for sure.
So I have the exact opposite feeling. I watched this. Actually, I was thinking that this was a pretty good movie until about like halfway in, or I think it's when like Leatherface makes his first appearance. And I was not scared at all. And nothing that was presented was doing anything for me. And I had seen the original. It had been quite some time. So I didn't really remember a ton about the original. But I just had this feeling that the changes that they were making just weren't really landing with me. So I watched this on Friday. And then on Saturday, I decided, you know what, I'm going to watch the original. And so I did. I rewatched it. And I know it looks like 1974, but I just found it much, much more compelling.
Yeah, so I'll give you my opinion. So the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I think, is a very... I think it's a great horror movie. I think it's a very effective horror movie. I will note that this is not my particular, kind of favorite type of horror. So I think, you know, there have been, I think, 7 Texas Chainsaw Massacre movies. I think I have seen maybe 4 of them total. And, you know, I do think that the original is, I think it's pretty brilliant just in terms of how the mood that it sets, because it's a grisly, grimy, disgusting movie, and a lot of the violence is implied. I mean, you just watched it, so you actually don't see, there's almost no gore on the screen. It's all implied.
Yeah. I was really sort of surprised because, like when Franklin, who's the guy in the wheelchair, when he gets chainsawed, you don't see it at all. There's really only one part where you get to see like a chainsaw going into flesh, and that's when Leatherface, you know, drops it on his leg. So it's really not that gory, but what it is it's very, very macabre
and disturbing
and disturbing. And that's what I think is so effective, especially with when his family, you know, when they've captured, Sally. Yeah. So they've captured Sally and they bring her, back into the house and they're going to kill her. They're going to like get grandpa to kill her. It's just so disturbing, that whole section of the film.
Yeah, before you had gone back and watched it, I'm curious, because when I think about the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I think about one scene in particular, and it's the dinner scene, and it's wheeling out Grandpa, and it's the stories about how he was awesome at the slaughterhouse with the sledgehammer, and they give him the hammer, and they have her head over the bucket, and that's horribly disturbing.
It's totally disturbing. It's like, hey, horrible. Grandpa, kill her. And you know, he's barely moving, but... You know, he does get his hand on the hammer and tries to hit her over the head. And it is disturbing, especially when you see it when you're like, you know, a teenager, you know, see it for the first time.
Yeah.
That stays with you. This, the updated version, I feel like there's a lot more in terms of the implied gore, like a lot of things around the house and in the, under the house in the furnace room. I think you see maybe one chainsaw injury. I don't know. It just, for some reason, it's not as disturbing and not as scary. And Leatherface, it just seems like he's pantomiming, you know, the original Leatherface. I think the original Leatherface is much scarier. He sort of, you know, he sort of squeals and when he's like chasing people around, and you don't get this from the new version. I mean, Butterfinger as Leatherface, just, I don't know. Maybe it's the fact that I knew it was Butterfinger and I was just like, no, this is not doing it for me.
Yeah. And I think the actor that plays him is 6'5", I think, in this movie. And I guess he gained enough weight so that he was 300 pounds when he was, when he was filming this. So it's a pretty physically imposing presence. And I don't remember the original Leatherface being quite that big, but
it hasn't been a while since I've seen it. No.
Yeah.
He was big. He was big, just not as big.
Yeah. Did Arlie Ermey put on a weight for the role?
If he did, he still has a few pounds to go.
See, that's what I think one of the biggest changes about the update was the family. And the family went from being very disturbing to being not disturbing at all. I mean, what did you think about the family in this remake?
Oh, I did not want to be in that trailer at any point with these two ladies.
Really? Because they weren't scary at all. It's
More would be more uncomfortable. Like,
yeah, unpleasant would be a word that comes to mind. Uncomfortable.
I mean, I liked Arlie Ermey because you just don't know, is he really the sheriff or what?
Yeah.
And he is menacing, but he's just, that's it. You know, he's more like menacing as a person in a place of power than he is at being sort of disturbing and macabre.
Did you ever see the Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2?
No.
Nope.
It kind of ramps up the dark humor and absurdity to truly bizarre
levels.
Wait a second.
Is
Dennis Hopper.
Yeah, Dennis Hopper. Yes, I have seen it then.
Yeah, Dennis Hopper at the end of that movie gets into a chainsaw duel, right? And he has like a chainsaw on each hip, and then he has an oversized chainsaw, and he's fighting Leatherface with a really long, you know, this chainsaw duel in this abandoned amusement park. It's a bizarre movie. It has one of the all-time great jump scares, though, of any horror movie. It's definitely up there. That movie's worth watching just because you're like, holy shit, this is bizarre. And this is the follow-up that, you know, Tobey Hooper himself made to his original. I think it's just a fascinating watch. I wouldn't call it a good movie necessarily, but it has some interesting characters in it, so you might want to check it out.
Yeah.
I think they've made 7 of these movies. I think I think the remake is actually really good. I think the Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 is fun, and the original, of course, is a classic. But beyond that, this is not really. I mean, it's pretty standard horror shit, right? So it's not like it's. By the way, there is one called I think it's The Next Generation, and it has Matthew McConaughey and Renee Zellweger in it, if you want to see them in a very early role. It's kind of funny.
I'm looking at it right now on IMDb, and I feel like I sort of want to see it just because they're in it, but it also gets a 3.3, which is really bad.
No, I think it's a pretty bad movie. I saw about 20 minutes of it on cable one night, and because I saw Matthew McConaughey, I'm like, oh, that's kind of weird. And yeah, it was pretty bad.
Hey, how about we talk about the 2003 remake, eh?
All right. Let's do that. Fine. All right. We can do that.
Well, here's the thing.
10 minutes on other movies that we didn't watch.
Well, here's the thing. I think that how you approach the 2003 remake is somewhat going to be influenced will be influenced a lot by how you feel about the overall series. Have you seen every sequel? Are you a huge fan of the original? Or just want to throw all that aside and just, take it for what it is? Because I think taking it for what it is, I think it's a pretty well-made horror movie.
Yeah, so. And that's what I did. I just watched it for what it is. I know there's previous material, very similar to when we watched Evil Dead. I know there's previous material, but this was its own movie and its own make, and I didn't compare it to the other ones. I hadn't seen the original in such a long time either. So,
yeah.
You know what I think really sort of put me off to this movie in the end? Because, like I said, I was liking it in the beginning. I think ultimately at the end, you know how they did sort of the same... documentary footage to
The rapper
to bookend it.
Yeah, me too.
Like, I didn't like that. I thought it was weak, really weak.
Oh, I thought it was really good, actually.
I thought it was quite effective. Yeah, I thought it was nice.
Yeah. What can I say? I just didn't like it.
Well, how about we touch on the cast?
Not much.
Which I think will be a relatively quick conversation, because the two names that I think are worth talking about are Jessica Biel and Arlie Ermey. Okay, well, how about Jessica Biel? What'd you guys think of Jessica Biel's performance in this?
She was wonderful.
All right, okay, we can't dodge it, right? So let's just talk about it briefly. So they do put her in a white tank top that is showing off her belly, and in some very form fitting skinny jeans, and they have her running around all over the place, and in her white tank top they throw her in water in the basement, and then she later in the movie is being chased through a meat packing plant, and Leatherface randomly turns on the sprinklers, and then she goes into the freezer. So I believe there's a certain angle that was being pursued somewhat consciously in this movie in terms of presenting her appearance.
Yeah, you think so?
Yes.
I will say this about the director. He definitely knows how to shoot a woman's body in the shadows.
But actually, I thought her overall performance was actually pretty good. So I'm not. It's funny because if you say, "Hey, what's your favorite Jessica Biel film?" I don't really know that I can name that many. I mean, I feel like in the early 2000s, they took a run at trying to have her play some leading woman. So like Stealth and The A-Team. Those are the movies that come to mind that I know that she's in. But
Stealth, that looked so bad. I never saw it.
Oh, actually, I would actually recommend watching that movie at some point. In fact, we could maybe do that sometime as a good bad movie, because the end of that movie is absolutely hilarious. She basically takes on North Korea by single-handedly.
Oh boy.
Yeah, so it's pretty bad. But she definitely plays the final girl role here, so she's obviously the last one alive, but she's also pretty resourceful. So they show her picking locks and hot wiring cars, and I think she does a good job of projecting the terror throughout this movie. So I think it's a pretty good performance.
Yeah, totally. I think she's the one bright spot to the movie. Yeah, she plays really good, the sexy girl with skimpy clothes being chased by a maniac.
Yes, has it nailed. So the other big name, obviously, here is Arlie Ermey. And so he plays the Sheriff Hoyt, who is, of course, in one of the sequels, they show the origin story of him killing the sheriff and taking over his identity. But he's great in this movie. He makes everybody super uncomfortable.
Wait a minute. It's kind of... In what? The origin story, he kills the sheriff and takes over his identity?
Yeah, so he's not really the sheriff. He just has the car and the clothes and all that.
Well, I sort of figured that, but then at some point, you know, Jessica Biel does actually call, and then she calls the sheriff's office, and they tell her that it'll be there, that the sheriff will be there in 30 minutes.
Right, but remember, he made the call inside the diner to the sheriff.
No. And so that was the woman at the barbecue place. She called and said that, but then...
But the sheriff was already there, like so.
So the sheriff, yeah. You're right.
Even if the sheriff was going to be there in 30 minutes.
They said, you know, meet the sheriff, go to the mill and meet the sheriff. And so they do that. But then she goes into the house, gets the number for the sheriff's office and calls. And so I think she's talking to the actual sheriff's office. And they say, oh, you know, he'll be there in like 30 minutes. And then she goes back to the van. And they say, oh, the sheriff is already here.
Right.
And he, like, you know, and he's already left. So she's like, right. Wait,
so,
what?
So my thought on that is ended up calling the actual sheriff's office when she was inside the house.
Yeah.
And then, so he was already alerted though before, right? So it's interesting this is one of those things where in a horror movie, you know, how you have the fake authority figure. That always kind of creeps me out a little bit, I think. Because you wouldn't want to be on the receiving end of that sort of treatment.
Yeah.
But it is pretty interesting because when he shows up and he starts talking to the kids in the van, it's like his language should be a dead giveaway that he is definitely not a law enforcement official. Right? Some of the dialogue that he casually rattles off, like for example, he talks about how he's had to deal with other dead women and sometimes he'd cop a feel, like he says something like that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he goes, and at one point he actually uses the word maggot. I don't know if you guys caught that. And I was like, there's a quick callback to, or I immediately thought of Full Metal Jacket when he says maggot.
Yeah, I thought he was the MVP. Like he was definitely, every scene he was on, I really enjoyed. And he just definitely brought, because you knew he was menacing. You're like, okay, these guys are believing he's the sheriff, but he's not. And you know, like, what's he going to do? And it just really was like kind of terrifying.
Here's what tipped me off. You know, they show him the body in the back of the van, and the gun. He's like, where's the gun? So he takes the gun, and then he immediately like puts it into his ankle holster, and it fits perfectly. And I'm like, going, bad sign.
I thought that was actually a good little plot device.
Yeah, no, it was nice.
I had a question about the gun though, really quick. So did she have the gun? She had the gun, right? She was,
yeah, and, not was, she, and was quite she actually, sure where she pulled it
was
out
Was she
of?
Hiding it? Was the gun in her vagina?
That's what they implied, but I don't think it would fit.
Well, and she was walking.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't feel like don't speculating.
Like when you're casting for a lot of the secondary characters in this movie, so, you know, the old lady, or actually both the women in the trailer, the woman inside the diner, and then the guy in the wheelchair whose house they all go to, like, how do they find these people? I was just kind of curious.
There's a place for everyone in Hollywood.
I know. There's a casting call. It's like, oh, we need a you know, fat, deranged psycho.
Two words.
I'm going for that.
Two words for you. Local theater.
Local theater.
Exactly.
All right. So from a plot summary standpoint, I'll just say it's called the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. So use your imagination.
Are they going to? They're going to Dallas. For a concert. I thought they were actually coming from Mexico, so...
Yeah.
Why are they coming from Mexico to go to Dallas? None of this really... I didn't really understand it, but...
You're overthinking it.
I think so. They pick up a hitchhiker, and then she kills herself. Okay. It's pretty good. I liked it. It's very different from the original, where they're just out. Like basically on a drive on a hot day coming from the graveyard, and then they pick up a hitchhiker who's like sort of very creepy and nuts, and then they get rid of him. Yeah, interesting.
I need to rewatch the original.
The whole suicide part of it I thought was interesting, but that's how you introduce the sheriff, the fake sheriff.
Yeah, I think I really like what worked for me was the road trip. You got the five people. Rural area, the setup, like they're going on a road trip, you know, and shit goes south really quick. What's going to happen?
Right? Why were they not sticking to the interstate?
Because they're smuggling weed, dude.
Yeah, exactly. So I think they came in through maybe a back road from Mexico so they can skip whatever.
So you're saying that they were balancing, you know, risks. You know, like if we get on the interstate, we might get pulled over by the highway patrol versus, you know, going the back roads and encountering a family of cannibals.
Yeah.
I think it'd stick to the interstate. This is the other thing. Did at any point you get the sense that the family in this were cannibals?
I don't think so.
Not really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That part was missed.
I think they were, WTF! I mean, I think, and I was watching the movie, I kept waiting for the dinner sequence to show up, like the modern version of the dinner sequence, with the idea of somebody, just because that is so disturbing in the original. And I'm actually really glad they didn't do it, because it would have felt really forced. And since that's probably one of the most well-known scenes from the original, I'd assume that you know the director probably wanted to stay away from it anyways. But I'm glad they didn't do that. And I'm actually, some of the other changes, so you already mentioned this, but I think the suicide in the beginning is pretty effective. I think it's genuinely shocking when it happens. And there's a couple things I like about it. So one is the way that it's shot, where just for a brief second, you see the hole through the head. So it's very Sam Raimi-esque. It reminds me a lot of The Quick and the Dead. And then I'll just say that the gore that is created inside the van, where you have like brains on the back, like sitting on a lawn chair that's in the back. It's all over like the interior. There's blood all over the van. I think that's pretty nasty. Yeah. It's pretty effective. And I recall the first time I saw this movie, the suicide really caught me off guard. So I thought
That's what Andy said. I guess that's what brains look like. Sort of like lasagna.
Yeah.
Boy. Well, man. I also liked the smoke coming out of her mouth. I think that was a nice touch. So yeah. I think this one qualifies as a cool kill.
Yeah, for sure.
Get thrown on the cool kill list. Okay.
I definitely like the shot. They pull back through her head, and you're like looking through the back of her head, through her mouth, then through the back window. It was really well.
See, this is why I was thinking in the beginning that this is a pretty good movie. I'm liking this.
Yeah, and then it definitely the first half. I would agree, though. The first half is stronger than the second half. I think the once they get into kind of the chase mode and that aspect of it, it's a little less effective. But
it's very repetitive. I mean, there's but it just becomes like this type of movie.
It's just Leatherface
in the fridge. Yeah. Let's trap Leatherface in the lead smelting. Oh wait, no, wrong movie.
Did they not learn anything from Alien 3?
But that's the thing, you know, like I agree with you. It's like it's good that they didn't try to like recreate the scenes with the family and grandpa. I'm glad that they didn't do that. But on the other hand, what they put in its place just did not have the same impact as the original.
Let me ask you a question, though. What, under that scenario, like, don't you think that they really just kind of take the body out of the car, like wherever they are, and just wait to flag down passing traffic or something? Would they really keep driving with that body in there with like a big hole through
her
face?
Wanted to dump it and they said no. And they were worried about the weed and they threw the weed out. I think that's definitely a huge question of like, what would you do in that situation? Like, you're like, okay, this lady, like I can see stopping and helping her on this rural road. Young lady seems to be in like distress. You're like, okay, we got to help her out. There's no one around here.
Yeah.
And then she shoots herself in your car. You're like, oh fuck. Like, what would you do? Like,
this was a real quandary. Because if it happened to you, my first instinct is, well, we can't move the body. You know, you're not supposed to tamper with evidence. You're like, what are they? They're going to think that we like killed her. But then you got to go get the police. You don't have a cell phone, right? You're out in the middle of nowhere. Like, is there any good answer in this situation?
I don't know.
But also the movie was supposed to be in the 70s. So it's supposed to be shot, whatever it is, 73 or whatever they say at the beginning. So there are no cell phones. There is no like, you know.
That's what I'm saying. It's like you don't have that. You have to either flag down somebody, but you're on like some, you know, rural road. No one's around.
Yeah. So you stop at the first stop and say, hey, like they're pretty rational at the beginning. They wanted to dump the body. And they're like, no, you can't just like dump her and leave. That's wrong.
You can't dump her. You just can't dump her. No.
That just seems like, yeah.
However, at some point after they were at the mill and things were like going poorly, I was like, maybe you should just dump her and leave.
One of my life rules, rule number 183, if there's a feral kid named Jebediah, you leave. You don't listen to him for directions, you're gone.
I know this term
in general. I have a general rule. Mine's that's more like number 7 on my list, which is if anytime I encounter a feral child anywhere, run. Well, so something else I liked. So I actually thought the rapper, the opening, you know, the opening footage of the guy walking down the stairs and the way that it was shot, the fact that it's grainy, and also the fact that John Larroquette does the narration in both this version and the original. I think that's pretty cool.
Oh, he did the original?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Well, and I do like the end of the very end of the film where, you know, there's the scary last minute kind of jump scare where the camera goes down. I think it's cool. I like it.
No, because they're talking about, so they go down, the sheriff's deputy goes down there, and then all of a sudden, yeah, there's a jump scare and it's Leatherface, right? And then they say, to date, this case remains open. Like, wait, where did all these people go? Like, the cops are there, you can't arrest Leatherface? You know, he just gets away? I just didn't buy it. I just didn't buy it.
They put out an APB on a one-armed man carrying a chainsaw with a skin face. If you've seen this man, please give us a call.
I saw him, but I'm not sure he's the right one.
Yeah, it could have been some other guy. I understand you don't like the logic of it, but what did you think of the visuals?
Yeah, I was sort of into it in the beginning, but then at the end, I don't know, I think that ruined it for me when he pops out.
I believe you had the same review for Heavy into Jeff.
Good Lord. It was kind of interesting, though. They're walking down the stairs, and he's pointing out, oh, there's, you know, these scratch marks on the wall, and there's some hair
caught a bit of hair.
And you actually get to see it happen.
So that was kind of really clever.
Ugh, that was a tough scene.
Although I will say that the scene in which I was most like, you know, went like, ugh, was the fingernails.
Yeah,
that one got to me more than like, you know, chainsaw taking off someone's leg or something like that.
What about the chainsaw to the balls?
You don't see it.
Yeah,
you don't see it. You know, and apparently they cut that scene because apparently they did film it originally where his intestines fell out.
They should have had it. That's all.
Pull back on it.
They should have had it.
Well, so another thing I like just in general is I do think that the overall atmosphere of this film and the way that it's shot, I think is I think it looks great. So I think there are several, you know, several of the outdoor evening shots of the house in the distance, the way it's lit with the light behind it and the smoke. I think it looks creepy. It looks good. Even the house in the day, in the daylight. So a lot of the scene, a lot of the set decoration, I think is really effective. I think it looks good.
I was going to say, the lighting, it does look like Texas too. Like it has like a good dirty kind of dusty kind of feel to the whole movie.
Yeah.
I agree with one exception. And that is
Colin's a Debbie Downer on this whole podcast.
The house. I liked the house. In fact, I thought that the house was really effective. I even in my mind, like I was like, oh, it's the original house. It's nothing like the original house, but I really liked it. And then, but when they show up at night and the house is backlit, all I could think is, why do these people have a huge spotlight behind their house?
Like, because it looks cool.
No. This guy, so the director has basically directed about 500 music videos,
right? Yeah,
and that's exactly what it looked like.
Yeah, I mean, there's a little bit of total
subtlety, man. Subtlety,
little bit of that, but I actually think, I mean, I think it's a cool effect. I think it looks good. I think that he also, there's another moment where, you know, towards the end, where Aaron's running and Leatherface is chasing her through the, I guess, kind of the basement of the house where they have the lights coming through the slats on the side. I think that also looks pretty good. I think it's a cool effect.
Yeah, although I was wondering, like, where exactly in the house is this, and what is this for?
Yeah, I had that same question. It's a little bit it's Rambo Last Blood is a recent example of where somebody has just apparently taken the time to build vast underground fortresses underneath their house at some point.
So. Yeah, it just didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But at that point, I was like, oh, whatever.
Well, how about the gore? I mean, I think the gore and all of the gore effects, I think, is another strong point for this film. So the kill effect with the blood splattering the sheets, that would be a good one. That's a pretty good visual. I think the general kind of design of the basement area where you have just, you know, you have ear necklaces and fingers, like finger collections and
all the
tools everywhere and grime and stuff that's being rendered down in bathtubs and God knows what else. I mean, I think it all looks disgusting and I think it's done pretty effectively.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Yeah, I agree. But you know what? And this is just, I hate to go back to the original, but.
Then stop.
No, you can't. I think it's good. It's totally, it's a viable. So topic of conversation.
The basement sort of reminds me of, let's say, Seven, right? It's all very dark and grimy, and you're seeing all of these horrible sort of macabre things, right? In the original, you see all those things, but you're in a very brightly lit farmhouse, and it's like you don't expect to see those things. And then you do, and you're like, oh, wait a minute, what the fuck is going on here? And that's what I liked about the original.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that you strongly prefer the original.
Just a little bit.
Okay.
I didn't have the original in mind other than just, I saw it a long time ago, so my I don't have a great memory of it. But upon rewatch, I was like, okay, well, this is, I think, why. This is why it was more impactful when I saw it originally. Right. It's for those reasons. Whereas I was watching the remake, you go down to the basement, and it's like, okay, I know what to expect already.
Yeah, well, I do think, I mean, the violence, I think, is pretty effective, though. So mounting the guy on the hook, like, that's, you know, that's a good moment.
Poor Andy. Can we just say, Andy. Ow?
Yeah. And Andy loses a leg, and then he gets mounted on a hook, which also, like, at what point would he actually just die?
I know, like, did Leatherface take the time to put a tourniquet around his leg and then before salting it and hanging him up like a piece of salami?
It was, you think he'd bleed out and pass out pretty quickly on that. Like,
yes.
I mean, how bad would that house smell?
Oh, man. I actually had that as an unanswerable question.
I mean, that place would be like a mile away and you'd be downwind from it. You're like, oh my gosh, something's not right over there.
You know, it's like the cabin in Evil Dead. You know, they walk in and they're just like, oh God, what is that smell?
Yeah.
Like, this house would be 10 times worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would just let my girlfriend wander inside to make a phone call and I'll just hang out here with the
crazy
camper.
Dude.
Camper.
I do. The last thing I would say just as a positive is, well, I think Leatherface, I think I do think that the character, I think that the physical sort of imposing nature of Leatherface, I think it's pretty good, right? I mean, the guy's huge. I think he moves pretty quickly. I do like the fact that the best example of this for me is where he takes the guy, the smart aleck dude, and mounts him on the chandelier. Morgan. As if he's like a side of beef, and then he just, you know, pulls out the chainsaw and goes to work on him. There's just something about sort of the dispassionate way with which he just works people over that I think is pretty effective. I think
he's kind fantastic.
Because it's like, you know, it's like, this is not someone that can be reasoned with. This guy's a definite mutant. So I think it's pretty strong.
When he first enters in, like, they're like in the house, they're looking for the boyfriend. They're not really like, you know, they think something's up, but they don't know that much. I think it's Aaron and Andy at that point, right? And then, like, busting through the door, that's when the grandpa's hitting the floor, saying, come out or bring it on or whatever it is. And then he busts through the door, wielding a chainsaw and, like, waving it there. You'd just be like, holy, you just shit your pants.
Yeah,
the entrance is good. The problem
is
I did not shit my pants. I don't know. I think the problem is the director. I think that could have been a much, much more effective shot had it been, if you weren't, like, distracted because of, you know,
Jessica Biel,
grandpa in the wheelchair, or the, you know, the struggle that was going on. If it was almost like you're just walking through and all of a sudden this door opens and this figure, and you, like, you know, this crazy huge figure with this leather face, and they maybe like did a quick zoom in, like, that would have had a lot more impact. But I was just like, oh, okay. And then Leatherface himself, yeah, he's huge, and yeah, he moves pretty well. But in the original, he was more, I don't know, childlike in certain respects. It, to me, it really looked more like a monster mask than it did a credible human face made, you know.
So the only thing I would, the one place I would challenge you on that is the moment where Leatherface is standing in front of the van and the van lights are on and he turns around and he's wearing the face of her boyfriend.
Yeah.
That's a great moment. I think that's really so well creepy. Done.
I did like it. It looked a little CG, but it was a nice moment. So yeah. I will say that.
The one thing that I think does not work in this movie is Aaron's decision to kill the guy with Andy, who's hanging up on the wall. I just think that is totally out of character for the way that they set her up, that she's scrappy, she's trying to survive, she goes to save the baby at the end. And maybe she wouldn't necessarily be able to save him, but I don't think that she would actually go forward with killing the guy.
I agree.
I think he'd already be dead.
Yeah.
Well, I think totally. And he lost a whole leg and is hanging from a hook.
Well, okay, yes, but let's assume that he's still alive, which he was in this movie.
Yeah, she's putting him out of his misery, I guess. But my thought was, okay, you're going to do him a solid and, you know, end it for him. So you stab him in the gut? I mean, right. You ever heard of like the carotid? You know, come on.
Let me tell you a quick story. You haven't lost enough blood yet.
Let's have you bleed out a little more.
But so I'm sitting there watching it with Dylan, and he's sitting behind me, and I hear him go, "Oh, that's a horrible way to do it. She should have cut his femoral artery, and he would have bled out in minutes."
That was my next thought, because I'm like, well, if she can't get to his neck because he's too high up, yeah, do the femoral.
Right. But I just want to say that that was a proud dad moment for me.
I'm like, I was gonna say, like, you must be so proud.
Yeah, so I'm like, okay, it's just to have one more, you know, gory moment, I guess, where someone's getting stabbed. But it's a terrible way to do it, and I just don't think that her character would do it based on her earlier decisions. I find it kind of random. You know, there's a moment where it just cuts to, and it's kind of creepy that he's doing it, right? But he's sewing some skin together, so I don't know that I need to see Leatherface doing arts and crafts. I think it kind of takes away a little bit of the, you know, kind of the scariness of who Leatherface is. And the other thing is, you mentioned this already, but he has the disfigured face, which is definitely a horror trope, definitely something I associate with the 80s in particular. The way that it's cut, so a real good example of that is it builds to this big, you know, climax where so Erin jumps out and she attacks Leatherface with a meat cleaver. And the way that that sequence is cut together, you can't really see what's going on. It's a bunch of really rapid fire cuts, and then all of a sudden his arm drops off. So I think it would have been more effective to just kind of see her just wind up and just, you know, we get the full hack with him. We get to see the whole kind of view of her doing it. So some of the editing was just a little bit too fast, and I think it makes it a little bit, there are a few moments that are a little bit jittery when I'm watching it.
I think they did it that way because I don't buy that she cut off his arm with a cleaver. She would have had to hit the same spot over and over and over again, get through the bone.
Yeah.
Granted, I mean, that's what a cleaver is like actually made for, but we're talking about a person's, what is that? Is that the femur? No, it's not a femur. What is that? What bone is that?
Arm bone?
I think it's the arm bone's
connected to the fibia, the tibia? What are we?
Those are the legs, right?
Oh, shit. Or maybe we're all blown out of anatomy right now.
I know the leg bones, but I don't know nothing about the arm bones.
And I do think that the mask plays a role for Leatherface as a character, but I think it's more his overall persona, right? How he moves, how he carries the chainsaw. Because you always think about the end of the original Chainsaw Massacre when he's out there
he's swinging it wildly over his head.
Right. Yeah, so there's more to him as a character, and because he's like this, you know, weird, crazy child, mutant, whatever. So I don't know that necessarily it's just about the mask. I think it's less important.
And that's where I think that they were trying to do more focusing on the grotesqueness of the mask than they did on the actual behavior and body language and acting. So they missed it.
Okay, well, how about touching on the horror tropes that show up in this film? So the obvious one for me is the final girl, right? So Jessica Biel plays the final girl very well, you know, and she does, you know, she's tough. She's resourceful, as I mentioned, and she's definitely on the run and doing lots of screaming. So she definitely fits that trope.
And plus she has to help, like, Morgan's like so useless. Like, I don't even know what happened to him, but he can barely walk and she's like dragging his ass all over the place. He's pretty useless.
Yeah, see, that's why she wouldn't kill Andy, yeah. Right? Because if she's going out of her way to try to save Morgan, who's already in bad shape, I can't imagine that she would have killed Andy. It seems a strange choice.
Agreed. Yeah.
I don't know if we talked about this earlier, but I did really like the fact that when she cut off his arm, that it was still grabbing the chainsaw and spinning around in a circle on the floor. I thought that was pretty good. I like that.
Yeah, I love the just the overall trope of the, you know, five friends in a bad situation and they split up and start getting picked off one by one.
Yeah, if we ever get lost somewhere, I'm going to recommend we all stay together.
I know you have down as one of the tropes, the sex-crazed teenagers, let's say.
Yeah.
There wasn't really any of that in there, except for in the very beginning, where Pepper and
Andy
and Andy were making out in
just
the
getting after it.
Yeah, and so Kemper kept looking back, you know, in the mirror to see them, and I swear he was going to say something like, "I think he's going to pork her, Dad."
Yeah, it was just funny though because the Pepper was also a hitchhiker that they picked up. They said they've only known her for like 19 hours or something.
Yeah, if you're going to pick up a hitchhiker, you want to pick up the Pepper type. So the jump scares.
Yeah, I don't know that there was. I don't recall having a real significant jump scare moment. Probably the first time I saw this movie, the closest thing would have been the suicide in the van. Like that would have been a surprise or a shock.
Yeah, for sure.
There was one for me. I don't know why, but it was when the sheriff Arlie Ermey showed up in the van, and all of a sudden he's like in the window, and when I think it was when Aaron was trying to start the van, it was effective because I did actually jump, but that was it.
Drinking a tea or drinking something that I just handed to you makes me a little bit drowsy. That seems like don't drink things from creepy people.
Yeah, you think especially because the woman inside the trailer was very insistent that she drink her tea. That's probably not a good sign.
You just got attacked by a guy.
She's trying to calm her down. I buy it. She's just trying to calm her down. And
going to a meat factory to escape a killer might be a going into a freezer to escape a killer. Going into a smaller space to get trapped again.
I sort of like the symbolism that Aaron was being sort of led to her slaughter at the slaughterhouse.
Nice. You've seen the Geico commercial, right? Where they're like, why don't we jump into this moving car, this starting car? Yeah. No, this shed of the chainsaws is much better hiding spot.
Yeah.
And the killer shakes his head. were you scared at any point during this movie on a rating from 0 to 10?
I would put it like, I thought it was good tension, good. I wouldn't say it's super scary. It's not like if we said Halloween was like at the top, I'd probably put this in like 5 or 6.
Yeah.
It wasn't, I thought it was like effective, but not like super, super scary.
Well, what's the scale here? I mean, are we starting with like Driving Miss Daisy at 0 or?
That one's terrifying.
Is that movie terrifying?
I'm just not sure like how I should rate this because if it's on the horror movie scale.
Like a horror movie, you would.
Okay, then I would probably put it around like a 3 or 4.
Yeah, I'd probably go maybe 4 or 5. I think I think there are points where it's unsettling. Yeah. But one thing that works against this probably is the fact that the second half of it is almost like one long chase scene.
Yeah.
So it's not like you slow down at any point and you have time to build up tension for something that's going to be genuinely scary. It's just
Most of the scares are towards the beginning. And then also just the unsettling nature of Sheriff Hoyt, because you really don't know like what he's going to do.
So how about gore? The level of gore?
I put it pretty high. I'd probably put it like, I don't know, 8. It's pretty gross and not gross. Bloody. It's like hard to describe. It's more like grisly and it's more like kind of gore factor. Like it's not like in the kills, but it's just like all the like ephemera like lying around, like all that stuff. It just looks like a place you would never want to be. Like,
What's your, I guess, so as we go through this, it'd be interesting as we watch these movies. Would you say that this is more or less gory than the Evil Dead remake?
Less. Evil Dead is gorier for sure. There's just so much blood and vomit and all sorts of stuff going on, but it's less effective. It's like funnier to a certain degree, right? Like there's so much over the top that Evil Dead is, it kind of plays down on that factor. Like, you know, you have a fire hose.
I would still probably say that The Evil Dead is gorier, though, than this film.
Oh, I agree.
Oh, hands down.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking because we could use whatever movie we see, or the goriest movie we've encountered, we can use that as the high point, which I think at the moment, I would say that the 10 is occupied by The Evil Dead remake.
Yeah, I would say.
Yeah.
I'd agree.
So, yeah, I'd give it like a 7, maybe 7 or 8, somewhere up there.
Yeah.
Colin?
Yeah, about a 5 or 6.
It's not as like meaty, that makes sense. Like it's not like chunks of people and blood and stuff like that.
It's one of those things too where you see a lot of violence, but you don't see a lot of up close violence. Yeah. It's not like The Hostel or something like that.
Again,
right?
You don't see people getting chainsawed. You do see is it Andy or no? Yeah, or I forget. He gets his leg lopped off by the chainsaw, but it was very quick. Andy. You don't really.
Yes,
it's they don't linger on it. Also,
it's not splurting blood or anything.
I sort of wonder, like, would you be able to just lop his leg off in one swoop with the chainsaw? I don't think so.
No, you might have to work on it a little bit.
I think you'd do like a slow cut.
You'd have to do, it would have to be a slow cut.
Yeah.
So I can just like,
do one whack. Can you hold still for a couple minutes?
which you have to wonder, like, is the chainsaw an effective weapon if you're a serial killer?
I think a chainsaw is a horrible weapon. It's just way too dangerous, right?
Yeah,
it really is. Unwieldy. You can hurt yourself. And also, like, the idol, like, a couple times the idol cut out. Like, it was, like, quiet in the space. I'm like, why isn't it, like, the chainsaw should be idling if it's not going? You have to start it up. It actually failed at one point.
It was probably in eco-save mode where it shuts down if you're not using it. So
I also think, like, it's probably a really bad idea if you're being chased by a chainsaw-wielding madman to continue screaming at the top of your voice when, you know, all he can hear is that chainsaw motor. Like, just shut up and run. He's not going to find you.
Okay, well, so how about the best or favorite death?
I would have to say the Sheriff Hoyt was my favorite cool kill. She hits him with the car and then backs up to get him a second time. It was pretty fun.
Yeah, Colin?
Now the suicide.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I had Sheriff Hoyt by a mile.
Yeah.
I loved the satisfaction of watching him get run over and the thoroughness that which she was dedicated to her craft of running him over.
Yeah, but you know what? I was totally expecting tire over the head and a nice big head squish, and he didn't get that.
You were thinking more it was going to be a little bit of a Toxic Avenger moment?
That's what I was thinking.
No. Yeah. What I liked about the moment,
by the way, I hate watching that stuff. That like really grosses me out.
What I did like though about it was like she like runs and hits him, and then like she stopped like you know whatever feet ahead, and you can see her like mulling it over. Do I just go and leave? She's like, no, I'm gonna kill this fucker. And backs up, gets up, and then takes off.
Yeah, that was a satisfying death for sure in that movie.
Good close.
Yeah.
The other one I liked, the sheriff, was he pulls him out of the car and he's has him like laying down on the ground and he starts shooting at the ground at the gun in the dirt. He's like, you got to get yourselves under control. He's like shooting at them.
that was a tough scene.
Calm down while I'm shooting a gun right next to your head.
Yeah, Arlie Ermey in this movie is, I mean, he's the scariest person in the movie.
I agree. I have him as the MVP.
I agree. He is the scariest person in the movie.
And I know you see that as what your unsaid comment is.
I see that as a negative.
I see it as a negative because you think it should be Leatherface. I got it. I see where you're going. Actually, no. So I have a question for you. So assuming that they're not, let's assume that they're not cannibals, right? So they're not necessarily trying to track down people and eat them. Is it only the one other family that they murdered and killed? And then this group came along? Or no. Do you think that they were killing people way in advance?
I think all the cars. So there's the abandoned cars. There's that VW bus and a couple of others. I was assuming those were like the other families that they've been killing and stealing their babies.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they end up putting a fair amount of emphasis on that one particular family over the course of the movie, right? Because there's the baby there. They find the picture in the jar of the family. They see the picture that's on the picture frame inside the trailer.
They did a poor job, I thought, with that part. I thought it was like a little bit weird. It didn't really make much sense.
I agree. Yeah, because they were like putting significance on it without really giving us much other than
context.
Other than, well, you just assume the little girl and then the girl who committed suicide were part of the same family. What do you think is the actual family structure here? Like, who's...
I have that as another unanswerable question.
Yeah, like, well, what do you think? Because I'm not really sure.
So I think that's the grandpa who has his legs are gone. Yeah. And I think there's the woman who's ironing. I think they're the matriarch and patriarch of the family.
Yeah, that's a grandmother because the little boy was saying grandma. And she's the one in the barbecue place.
Their sons are Leatherface and Arlie Ermey, I believe.
Okay.
Then who's the boy's father or parents?
Yeah.
Yeah, that I don't know. I mean, maybe there's a...
Maybe the ladies from the trailer, maybe one of their kids.
Oh, yes. Although the one that stole the baby, you assume that she doesn't have one of her own. So, yeah. Or she looked at that feral kid and she's like, oh, you didn't come out right. I got to try again.
I think just steal one.
I think the kid's father is like, he's a surgeon in Dallas and they're very proud.
Well, let me. I have one more question. What do you think the total spend on orthodontics would be to get that kid's teeth to get back to normal?
A lot.
I mean, that's got to be in the. That's got to be a 5-figure situation.
That's not just Invisalign's not going to correct that.
No, I think that you got to call on that. They might have to get the headgear, like the old fashioned headgear, out of storage somewhere to try to deal with that.
Now that would be a monster movie. Was it this movie or was it the original where they said that he had like Leatherface had like flesh eating bacteria or something?
Yeah, he had a skin disease. They mentioned it in this one.
Okay, so that's why his nose was missing.
Something like that. Yeah.
Now, do you think that that's like a plausible reason for him to become a, you know, human face wearing serial murderer, or do you think he had other problems?
I think he had other issues.
I did a little bit of reading on that, and I'm not sure if it was the producer or if it was the director that was saying that they had a vision of Leatherface's backstory, that he grew up with this skin disease, and that he was mercilessly taunted and attacked by both his own family and others, and that he is. Gotten to the point of it to be horribly psychologically damaged. Now I'm not quite sure that any level of taunting is going to make you pull out a chainsaw and cut people up and wear their skin as a face, but you know.
I think he had other issues.
I think there were like some steps in between there.
All right. Any other unanswered questions?
Have I turned you against this movie?
No. Okay. I would disagree. So I would recommend it. I think it is a very fun, it's a kind of classic horror movie, not classic as in the sense of Halloween or the original Texas Chainsaw, but classic as in it's five kids who get stuck in a situation and you have the very, you know, there's a lot of classic horror movie tropes. I think it's all very well done. I think if you ignore any of their prequels or it's based on any material and just take it as a standalone movie, it's quite fun and terrifying. I wouldn't say it is a... how many are we doing? Stars, grades? What are we doing here?
Let's do it. Let's do letter grades.
How about letter grades? I would probably give it a for horror movies. I'd probably give it a B+. Fun, worth watching. Not terribly terrifying. Not terribly gross. But it's definitely an enjoyable all around. Check it out,
Colin.
If you haven't seen the original, I would say go for it. But then don't watch the original. If you have seen the original, I'd say don't bother.
So I think the original is an all-time, it's one of the all-time horror classics ever. By the way, side note, I'm not sure if I mentioned this earlier, but can we agree that the Texas Chainsaw Massacre has to be one of the great all-time horror titles ever?
I mean, oh, totally.
It's an awesome, awesome title. So, but beyond that, I was impressed with this as a remake, or I was surprised by it, because I assumed that it was going to be just pretty shitty and just a total cash grab. But I actually think that they put some effort into it. I think that the production design, I think the gore effects are done really well. I think Jessica Biel's performance and Arlie Ermey's performance are worth watching. I think the suicide sequence in the beginning is genuinely shocking. And I think that they, you know, again, with the gore inside the van and all that kind of stuff, I think, and the basement, I mean, it's a pretty nasty, grimy, you know, sort of disgusting movie. So, you know, the sound effects and the sound and the whole experience, I think, is pretty in your face and kind of fun that way. It's not terribly scary overall, but I do think it's worth watching. And I think you can appreciate the original for what it is and then watch this movie as a point of comparison and say, look, yeah, it works for me or it doesn't work for me. But just taking this on its own for a 2003 remake and a remake of a classic horror film, I think they did it justice. So I would recommend it.
I'm going to say it's a well-made film that just misses the mark. And because of that, I'm going to give it like a C+. It's not a bad movie. It's really not. You know, so yeah. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. No, I didn't give my grade. I'll give it a B.
A B.
Yeah.
What did you give Drag Me to Hell?
I think that was might have been a B+.
Okay.
So you like Drag Me to Hell, obviously, a lot better.
I did. Yeah.
Yeah, that movie's just more fun, maybe because of Sam Raimi in particular.
Well, it's also made to be more fun.
Scared
too,
me more.
So, yeah.
They're different movies.
They're very different movies.
All right. And with that, unless you guys have anything else you want to add?
No, I do like that. You're like, oh, it's a nasty, grimy, disgusting movie. I recommend it.
Well, I mean, I guess.
No, I'm just joking. It's a horror movie, so I get it. It's just funny.
All right. Well, I hope everybody enjoyed our long rambling conversation about the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake. Hope you are enjoying our new Friday Night Frights format, and we'll be back with another horror movie. What is the next horror movie we're going to watch, Colin?
Well, it's between a movie I've seen before that I really enjoyed, or a movie that I've never seen, but I'm interested in seeing. What do you think I should pick?
Put him in room number two and get him a drink.
Do you want to take a choice between the two? I'll tell you what they are.
Yeah, okay. Sure. What are they?
Cabin in the Woods and The Descent.
I haven't seen either, so I'm up for either.
Oh, which, really?
Number one. Yep.
Ooh, Cabin in the Woods.
Which one have you not seen, Colin?
The Descent.
Oh, those are actually both really strong picks. So,
I do Cabin in the Woods because it's next in our list.
Cabin in the Woods.
Let's do Cabin in the Woods. It's also on Amazon Prime and Hulu. So,
perfect. Okay.
All right. So we will be back with Cabin in the Woods. And otherwise, this is the Real DMC Podcast, Friday Night Frights Edition, signing off. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody. Goodbye.
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 Bye.
All right. We ready to stop?
Yeah. Okay, ready? Hold on. 3, 2, 1, stop.
Shit, sorry. No, I didn't do it. I'm just like sitting here like, sorry, I was actually thinking about Jessica Biel. Should I stop?